KLYT Broadcast Studio. This is ABQ Connect.
And thank you for joining us on ABQ Connect. Jim Williams with you this afternoon. My friends David and Angela Breidenbach are in studio with us with Spiritual Orphans Network. Pastor David, good to see you.
It's really great to be back here, and so glad you invited us to be with you today.
Thank you. Angela, you keeping this person in line?
As best I can.
Well, since you're going to tell us all about Spiritual Orphans Network, you're going to tell us about the areas of the world where your missionary work has operated. You're going to tell us the effect that communism has had spiritually on many of these areas for hundreds of years, and how some of those barriers are now broken down. And so I'm just excited. But you've had four young ladies, I learned, as we were getting ready for the show today, that have come to the United States, and they're really your daughters, and they're going to school and doing well. So tell us about the Breidenbach family.
Oh, my goodness.
The Breidenbach family is growing. We have two biological daughters and three grandchildren, and one on the way in August.
Nice. Congratulations.
But we were empty nesters for 8 years, and God decided that he'd shake things up a little bit. Full-scale invasion of Ukraine, long-term relationships there. We brought two young ladies that we've known since they were 4 and 7 to live with us. The oldest will be graduating from the University of Mexico next month.
May 16th?
Yeah. And then two Albanian girls. We serve in Albania, which is a former communist country. A lot of people don't know that. And it's a culturally Muslim country, which means that the young ladies really do not have any advantages, particularly in education. So through our travels and through our relationships, we brought a couple young ladies from Albania and one more coming this fall.
Just the pride and fox.
I have enough.
Well, but you can't not do this.
That's right.
I shouldn't use a double negative, but that's true.
It works. It certainly dovetails into what we're doing through our ministry. Now ministry is at home with us, but it's what makes sense. And I want to make sure, because I'm sure people are thinking, why are you only importing girls? And I've had that question before. The truth of the matter is, since they're going to school in the United States, language acquisition is so important. And typically, young ladies learn language much easier than young men, and they tend to perform better academically. And so the candidates so far have been female, and they speak English very well. They're academically astute. And in places like Albania, where they don't have the same opportunities.
And David, we should say, as you're praising these young women, and your wife's smiling big, I mean, you obviously are treating your wife the way you treat other women, which is really a neat thing. But I guess I'm going to say that in a largely Muslim country, women are not treated that way.
They're not. And in Albania's course, and what Angela stated, they're culturally Muslim, sort of like a cultural Christian, the Christmas Easter Christian. The Muslim community in Albania, for the most part, they'll observe Ramadan, they'll do some of the other festivals, but they don't understand why. They don't understand why they've never had bacon before, but once they try it. So they're very open to the things of God, consequently, and they don't have preconceived notions about people of faith. They're curious.
I think that's really interesting. Why in your growing up in the United States, did you feel like going outside the country would be a place that you wanted to share your faith?
I never felt that way.
It truly was a calling. We are both Albuquerque natives, and each had careers in the secular world for many years. And David was called to be a pastor at Faith Lutheran. He served there for 14 years. And in 2006, he was substituted for another pastor to go to Poland. And that began our mission journey. And so we started serving with our organization. And 15 years ago.
Actually, we just completed our 21st summer.
That's right.
been doing this for 20 years, but in 2015, I became director of the organization.
Prior to that, Spiritual Orphans Network.
Spiritual Orphans Network, but we have been involved with it for 20 years. And it was initially something we did just during the summer. We went on summer mission trips, which we still do. We take short-term mission teams, but then we work throughout the year. We work with leadership, indigenous leadership, in all the countries that we serve.
So as we're talking with David and Angela, you might want to pull up on your phone, SO Network, sonetwork.org. That's for Spiritual Orphan Network.
Correct.
Yes. And you can follow along with various things, resources, and other ways you can get involved as we're talking with David and Angela. Tell us about Spiritual Orphans Network. Why is it even named that?
Well, that's interesting. I'm going to let Angela tell the bulk of it, but I want to do the setup for it. I was a spiritual orphan. I grew up in a household that was not, we didn't observe any religion. In fact, we were a bit adversarial towards religion, particularly organized religion, Christianity in particular. And so I grew up woefully ignorant.
Does that mean you were actually against it in some way?
In some ways, okay. Yes. And so it was really a pagan upbringing. I had a lot of incredible experiences as a child. But that helped to set me up for being able to have be able to sit down with just about anybody and have a conversation with them because of my upbringing. But once I heard the gospel at the age of 25, it turned my life right side up, and it's been an amazing journey. And it's now my bent that every child on earth gets the opportunity to hear the gospel. Mm. And so I'll let Angela. In the blanks.
Yeah, so we were founded as an organization in 1992, and we were founded as East European Missions Network, or EEMN, a bit of a tongue twister. But as God grew our ministry, we found ourselves well outside of Eastern Europe in places like Albania, in places like Ethiopia, Uruguay. And so we really wanted to tell the story of the people we serve, not a geographical location. And so a spiritual orphan is simply someone who does not know that they have a Father in heaven who loves them, doesn't know that they have brothers and sisters in Christ, and does not know that their identity is a child of God.
So you're talking about people.
Yes.
So I'm going to say you know a lot about U.S. people.
Mm-hmm.
You were raised here.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if New Mexican U.S. people is the same as U.S. people. I'm a native New Mexican. So I think we have a few little phobias, or if you will.
Idiosyncrasies.
Yeah, idiosyncrasies. But nevertheless, you know about Americans.
Mm-hmm.
When you met people in Eastern Europe and you know, you mentioned Poland being one of the first countries.
Right.
Are they different than us?
Sure.
In some ways.
Yeah. They each have their own cultures. Just like here in the United States, we often feel more culture shock when we go to the Midwest than when we're here in New Mexico. And even though we're all Americans, the cultures are different. It's no different than in Europe. Each country has its own unique language and culture that goes with it. So yes, some.
Well, but in this country, for example, we have the Declaration of Independence.
Right.
God is mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
The history of the country, regardless if you want to, you're a revisionist or whatever, you pretty much have to say, yeah, there were Christians and spiritists or spiritual people that were leaders and formed our country. Is that true with some of the other countries, like a Poland and an Albania and
communism.
Ukraine?
I mean, sought to erase God for as many as four generations. And they did a very effective job of it. And so not only are these countries, you know, did they regain their freedom after the fall of communism, but they're just beginning to understand what it means to be free in Christ.
Mm.
And because of what happened to the people under communism, they tend to initially be very closed, very suspicious, but they are incredibly warm, loving people under there once you gain their trust. And so we do that through a variety of ways, but we're sort of known for taking teams in the summer to do English Bible camps for children, because all children over there learn English from the second grade. And so it's just a natural way for them to practice English. We used Bible stories. We're using the story of David this summer. In most of our countries, in Albania, we're going to be using the story of Jonah, which is, of course, a favorite for kiddos. Mm-hmm. Once they begin to trust us, it's very easy to share the gospel. Mm-hmm. And we've just seen, we've got incredible stories to tell about young people coming to Christ, attending our camps from 7 years old, and then they go on to become teenagers that go to our Life and Adventure teen camps, and a lot of them then become leaders in their church, pastors, and it's just been an incredible adventure.
Yes. What are the biggest challenges of sharing the gospel in the areas that you're in?
Well, the irony is that where we serve is often the birthplace of Protestant Christianity.
Should I mention, let me mention a few of the countries. You're working in Albania, Estonia, Ethiopia, Latvia, Slovakia, and Ukraine.
Mm-hmm.
And so, go ahead.
Yeah. And so it's in Albania, for instance. If you go into the book of Acts, you'll learn about Illyricum. That's Albania, birthplace of Christianity and the European continent. And so bringing it back to the people who've lived there, who don't know their own history. And so there's a...
And that history's been intentionally erased.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Because in the communist ideal, you remove family first. You remove the idea of God.
Now, are any of these countries communist now?
No.
And would anyone in those countries, well, I should say, would anyone, would people generally say, yeah, communism is a great idea and you can thrive as a person and as a society in communism? Or would they say, you Americans who are entertaining all of the socialism and different things are in for some trouble?
What you just said is true. They see that because they've lived it. They never want to repeat it. And so what we're seeing happening in Ukraine right now, Ed Stetzer, I heard him speak at one point. He said, history doesn't repeat itself, but it rhymes. And everybody's seeing what's happening right now in Ukraine rhyming with about 1939. Prior to World War II. And so everybody's on high alert. They don't want to return to from whence they came. So they're very protective of that. At the same time, they're very worried about here us in the United States, because we have been kind of an icon of hope for them, not in a spiritual sense, but that, if they can make it, we can make it too. And so when they see us go down these slippery slopes, they get worried. But because they care about us as well, they don't mind voicing it to us when we're with them.
I love that. David and Angela Breidenbach are with us. They are with Spiritual Orphans Network. They're native New Mexicans. They've been have four young ladies that are going to school, they've brought them into the home and minister to them, mastering the language. And by the way, I said this on the radio before, I'm always embarrassed that I can't speak Spanish. If we live in New Mexico, we should learn how to speak Spanish, in my opinion. But I'm so impressed with how people in Europe can speak not just one language, but three languages. I mean, and I just think it takes a little bit of work, but what an opportunity to share with other people just your life and this guy that we know is Jesus Christ. When we come back, we're going to talk about the conditions in the field. When you say you're ministering in Ukraine, I think a lot of us are thinking about there's bombs going off and different things. So we'll talk a little bit about that. So I hope you'll stay with us on ABQ Connect. David and Angela Breidenbach will be right back. And Angela Breidenbach are in studio with us. I'm Jim Williams with you this afternoon. Steve Ryman will be with you Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday this week. So I hope you'll join us again tomorrow for ABQ Connect. And I hope everybody had a nice weekend. Easter weekend, I always think, is so beautiful, especially the kids, because the kids are always dressed up and they're doing their Easter eggs and all that stuff. But they just look so beautiful and so happy. Love this time of year. It's a good time.
Blessed weekend.
Absolutely. Amen. And the fact that the body of Jesus was not in that tomb, however many years ago.
It is empty.
Pretty miraculous thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was just today with a group of men that I meet with in the mornings on Mondays. We're finishing up Luke 24. So what happened after the resurrection is Jesus appeared, on the road to Emmaus, mm-hmm. talking to everybody, hey, what are you guys talking about? They didn't recognize him. And then he shows up when they're all together talking about the body's gone. Right. And then he opened up their eyes to the scriptures so that they now could understand what he'd been telling them
right. The
entire time. And so I hope that people are listening, us in this room in the studio. I hope our eyes are open, and I hope your eyes are open as you're listening today.
Amen.
Talk to us about the conditions in the field, because as soon as you mention Ukraine, we're hearing and seeing missiles.
Right.
How scary is it for people to be sharing the gospel in Ukraine?
It's scary. Of course, we mentioned our two unofficial daughters who live with us. Their parents still live, work, and minister in southern Ukraine, mm-hmm. in the Odessa region. And it's nightly. You have the air raid sirens. And so that is a concern, yet life does go on, ministry continues. And we were just in Ukraine last month. Well, actually in February. We're in April already.
We are.
Yeah. And so what we did there is we were asked by the church leadership to host a conference for women in ministry. That's not something they've typically done, but given the present circumstances, most men have been conscripted. Not all are serving, but those who are, they're out in the field. They're no longer working in the churches. And so there's more women in leadership, and they needed to be equipped. We needed to build them up. Angela did the curriculum, so why don't you talk about what we did?
we actually worked our way through Psalm 72. Mm-hmm. It was a beautiful 2.5 days praying with the women and helping them to understand that really none of us really feel equipped for ministry, but when you're called, then the Lord does the work through you, and the name of Jesus is proclaimed. Because of the culture in Ukraine, people, particularly women, tend to be very stoic. They don't share easily. They're not particularly vulnerable. And so that was my prayer, that we would be able to be vulnerable with one another. And very quickly, in the first day, I recognized that my prayer was being answered. And it was truly an amazing opportunity. And what David said is true. It's interesting because we were in an area that's not heavily bombed, but there were air raid sirens. We had to take shelter in the basement a couple of times. We heard the missiles being intercepted. But life just goes on. And in fact, we were there over
Valentine's Day
out in the square, and people were out with their children and having coffee and going to the local chocolate shops and buying flowers for one another. But yet there were stark reminders of war. All of the church buildings have been, the windows have been boarded over. The statues have been covered so that the missiles can't take them out.
Anti-drone nets.
Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's just... Yeah.
So it's a commentary on the human spirit. And, you know, there's the old saying, there are no atheists in foxholes.
Yeah.
And we're seeing more and more people responding to God, responding to the gospel. And even though we're meeting their acute immediate needs, we're doing generators and heaters and food and clothing and transportation, it's always in the name of Christ. And there's always a spiritual component that goes with that.
And there are people listening on the radio right now that just heard you say, this is what we're doing. Mm-hmm. How can they help?
Yes, yes. So I want to take everybody back to 2022. When the full-scale invasion first began, because we're a network of countries and people all over East and Central Europe, we were able to respond almost in an instant to begin lending aid in Ukraine, initially getting women and children out of harm's way and often across borders. And then there are so many that are being housed as refugees in surrounding countries. And so what Sun is doing, what Spiritual Orphans Network is doing, we're continuing to fund housing and, of course, transportation and acute needs in the country as well. And so we will generously help people understand just how important it is that we continue to meet the needs of those in peril. But at the same time, we continue to host the camps in summertime, where we take short-term mission teams. We'll have a busload of Ukrainian teens that will be joining us in Slovakia for a teen retreat. And so funding for that is always necessary. But it's not just funding. We're a relational ministry. Everything we do is about relationship. And so we don't dig wells, we don't build houses and things of that sort because of where we serve. But relationship is important because there's no relationship with Christ. And you and I are the hands, the feet, the voices of the gospel.
I'm wondering if, I just want to contrast what a teenager in Ukraine mm-hmm. experiences from the media compared to what a teenager in the United States sees. And I want to confine that not to social media and all mm-hmm. the stuff, but I'm thinking you are not selling the gospel. There are people in the United States that sell the gospel and the immediate gratification that brings like it's an aspirin.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You guys are sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. You're telling us that God came to earth in human form, gave his life for our sins, and that we have hope in him. But that doesn't mean everything gets better.
No.
Is that a hard sell there?
Go ahead.
No, because we also desperately want hope in our lives. And when you share the hope of Jesus Christ with someone, you're sharing sure and certain hope. Mm. And so
hope eternal and abundant life doesn't necessarily mean war's over, we're all going to get rich, and all's going to be well. Because that's what you'll hear from certain
This is not
people in the
gospel.
United States.
And in fact, the women to whom we were ministering in Ukraine, they're all in the middle of war. Many have lost loved ones. And giving them a space to recognize that they can mourn, they can be angry at God, but also recognizing that Jesus experienced all the same things that we do in this world, all the same temptations, frustrations, yet because he understands who we are, he is the only Savior, and he gives us that space to express ourselves, but at the same time respond to the love, grace, and mercy that he extends to every person. And giving the ladies permission to wrestle with that, so that they can then, in turn, meet the needs of those to whom they're ministering in their own ministries. It was, for some of them, they'd not heard this before. They'd never had that opportunity to really wrestle with how they feel as opposed to how they think they should feel.
I often think about Proverbs 31 and how it talks about women and the amazing things that a woman of God does.
Right.
You know, everything from entrepreneurship to cleaning the house to making the linens to, you know, you name it, managing the land holdings.
Right.
I mean, just all this really cool stuff. And I have no doubt that that's godly. I have three daughters.
Mm-hmm.
I have two sons and three daughters, so I'm a girl boy dad. But I remember my daughters, you know, the typical chauvinistic thing, hey, you throw baseball like a girl.
Mm.
Well, my daughters will look at you and say, I'm sorry, I won't throw it so hard next time.
Right.
And trust me, they can throw like with any guy out there.
Right.
But they can do everything at that level because, you know, their mother and I have both instilled in them that, you know, God's called you to whatever. You can do that because you're equipped and you're capable and don't hesitate for a second. But that's not the encouragement, Angela, that most women in the areas that you are ministering in, they don't have those opportunities.
No, they don't.
Can you change that through your ministry? Or you think God would change that?
I think that we can help them recognize the gifts that God gave them. Mm-hmm. And that is, I mean, I think that's a lifelong journey for all of us. And that that when we begin to understand how to use those gifts to share Christ with people around us, mm-hmm. lives are forever changed.
They are.
Yeah. And when we come back in our third segment with David and Angel Bradenbach, we're going to talk about some lives that have been changed through the Spiritual Orphans Network. Stay with us on ABQ Connect. We will be right back. We are continuing our conversation with David and Angela Bradenbach. They're serving with the Spiritual Orphans Network for, you guys have been there 15 years?
We've been,
or 20?
I've been director. We've been involved with it for 20 years. I've been director for 11 of
I love
20
it.
Years.
It's good stuff. And before that, you were serving as a pastor at Faith Lutheran?
I was. And before that, I worked in broadcast television.
Oh, those broadcasters were a pain in the neck.
I still have phone chains and things like that. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, David, you got that great broadcast voice. Talk to us a little bit about someone who's been transformed, that you've seen God change their life through Spiritual Orphans Network. You have a smile on your face, Angela.
Oh, well, I have a favorite story. That's why he's looking at me. It was a young man in Slovakia. We were doing a teen camp, and I had taught the teens, you've probably seen it. It's a pantomime skit where a young girl, she's created by Christ, and then the demons start to pull her away, and she's even contemplating suicide, and then she's trying to make her way back to Christ, and then he throws himself in front of the demons. It's a powerful pantomime, and mm-hmm. it's been done by many, many churches, but I had taught the kids to perform it. And I had one young man, Donko, and he just was not paying attention to me at all. I didn't think we were getting through to him, but he wanted to play the role of Jesus because it was the best role. And I thought, okay, Lord, well, only you can do something here. And so we got all the way to the performance, and he still wasn't taking it seriously. And then they began the skit, the pantomime, and I literally watched this young man fall on his knees and come to Christ while playing Christ. Mm. And he was sobbing at the end, and he came up to me and he said, "Miss Angela, I understand what Jesus did for me." Mm. And he is now a father and has two little boys, and he's a leader in the church in Slovakia. And every summer when we go to Slovakia, he has to come find me and say, "Do you remember? Do you remember?" And I tell him, "Of course I do. I'll never forget." Mm-hmm. And that's one of many stories, but it's one that really, really has stayed with me.
Then there's a story of what's unfolding right here in Albuquerque, and the students that are with us, they're not the students, they're our daughters. Their lives have been profoundly changed, and so they're not here just getting an academic education. They're being surrounded in a family of Christ, and not all of them were believers when they came here. Now they're seeing the body of Christ in action, and so yes, they're getting their education, but they're going to church services. They're in Bible studies. They have groups of friends that they meet at Bible studies, and it has forever changed their lives and their perspective. So when they go back home, they will have a new sense of leadership, and starting from a place that is not typical from whence they came.
You know, when you say they went home,
yes.
Do you see more and more that home is the world?
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
You know, home used to be Albuquerque,
right.
Or home used to be Odessa,
yeah.
In the Ukraine,
right.
Or whatever. But it seems with all the technology and the communication, you know, if we could get to where people could get along. I'm not sure I understand tribalism and
right.
And why the different wars happen and all these different things. But if we had a world economy, if we had people that love Christ, there would be success on many levels.
I agree. Think about most of the countries where we serve were formerly communist. And even though on paper everything has changed, the people who are still in charge are still very much functioning in that same way. It's very draconian. It's top down. And you infuse that culture with young people that know who Christ is, and more importantly, who they are in Christ. Leadership is done in a very different way, and it affects change profoundly. And that's what we're seeing with our short time being overseas.
One of the things you guys mentioned before we started the show today is that you're also interested in starting a school or multiple schools.
Right. And so it's really not a sustainable model for us to keep bringing students here to the United States, and it's limiting. We intend to start building schools.
Have to add rooms to the Breidenbach
well,
house.
We've done that.
But we're planning on starting to build schools, particularly in Albania, and starting small. We want to start with kindergarten and work on up, and we'll add a year as each year goes by. There are communities who desperately want that sense of education, knowing that it's a Christian education. And again, Albania, being culturally Muslim, where there's really no understanding of the gospel, and we're serving in communities that also were primarily Roma. We would call them gypsies. So they're further marginalized in that context. Yet they desire to have their children brought up in a way that they know is going to be better for them.
And you have relationships with people right now that love Christ that are in those cultures.
Amen.
And you're training those indigenous people to be leadership in a school.
And God is moving so quickly in these areas. Our full-time indigenous missionaries just started in this area last August, and they've baptized over 30 people in this community. And it's a little community. Mm. And so the gospel is just exploding, and what we're seeing happen in these communities is so profound, and wanting to bring their children up in the faith. And so being able to start a school in this area, it's ripe for it, and we're hoping that we can begin to do that in as early as next year.
So me and our listeners have a question. How can we help?
All right. Funding, of course, is it's a tool, and we can't be as effective as we need to be unless we have enough tools for that. One of our young ladies here in Albuquerque, she is studying to become a teacher. She's from Albania. She will presumably go back to Albania. We would love to plug her into one of our schools. And so I think a lot of people are sitting and listening and thinking, well, that's great. You know, there's a certain segment of people that go and do global missions. We're all involved in global missions. Prayer, first and foremost. But every person and every congregation can be a sender, holding people accountable who are equipped to go, but also reaching out and being part of the community. These young ladies that are with us, I'd love for you to meet them, and they would love to meet you. And you can see how God has worked in, around, and through them. We'd love to have some more students join us. But again, the Breidenbach household is only so large. But having that community come around them and being involved in their churches, we are an ecumenical ministry. We're not tied to any one denomination. And so we are more than happy to join you and your congregation. We could do a visioning weekend. Be happy to pulpit fill. We can.
So there might be
online
churches that don't currently have a missions program,
right?
But they feel a call, and there's people probably saying in their congregation, "I'd like to give to a missions program," mm-hmm. but you don't have one. Maybe this could be their missions program.
Absolutely. And every year we have the opportunity for people to go. We send short-term mission trips. All of our teams, thanks be to God, are full for this summer. But you can begin thinking about that for next year. The other thing is helping congregations, particularly congregational leaders, understand that sending your congregants overseas on mission actually benefits your local mission. It gives you fresh eyes. I have a friend that describes, you know, that he drives a pickup truck. His wife said, "Oh, we've got to buy a new car. I think a Subaru would be nice to buy." And he said, "Wait a minute, we don't drive Subarus, we drive trucks." I said, 2 weeks later, they're driving home in their new Subaru. And he said, "I'll be darned, hundreds of other people are driving Subarus too." What he means by that is it gives you fresh eyes for what's already in your backyard. So one of the best ways to infuse new life for local missions is to send people on global missions.
Yes. SO for spiritual orphan, Network, sonetwork.org is the website. Spiritual Orphan Network has been around for a lot of years. Mm-hmm. They're adjusting really to the cultural changes and to the wars and all the things going on, equipping indigenous people in many countries that most people may not know if they're still communist or not. Albania, mm-hmm. Estonia, Ethiopia, Latvia, Slovakia, and Ukraine. I don't think any of them are communist now, right?
They are not.
But
are not.
Some of them are Muslim.
Yes.
At least in culture.
Correct.
And I'm almost a little bit relieved to say that you said that's kind of a cultural thing, not necessarily a practice, because I know a lot of people that are cultural Christians. Yes. I know a lot of people that are cultural Jews. Mm-hmm. And lighting a fire sometimes really changes things really drastically when they hear the truth of the gospel. So we're going to have one more segment with David and Angela. I hope you'll continue to listen. We're going to talk a little bit more about some other people that have been impacted, more ways that you can help. And I'm fascinated with this invitation that maybe people could go overseas. So we'll talk about those things when we come back. Stay with us on ABQ Connect. Well, we're so glad you stay with us for our last segment of ABQ Connect. David and Angela Breidenbach will be with us until 2 o'clock, and we're talking about Spiritual Orphans Network and missions work. David, maybe reiterate for people that are, they want to share the gospel, they don't know if they want to pursue ministry here in the United States as part of a church, it could be a pastor, it could be in a women's group, it could be whatever. Maybe they want to be a doctor and share the gospel almost like a tent-making thing, or be a carpenter, or, you know, there's all kinds of different ways. How is missions work different?
It is. Well, let's go back to our mission statement, which is connecting spiritual orphans to the global family of Christ. We do this in nations where the church has been oppressed by draconian regimes in the past. And so it's a matter of reconnecting through relationship. We do this through short-term mission trips. We take groups of approximately 10 to 20 people. This summer, we're taking 5 different groups. We're taking
one. And they're typically teaching English?
That's the vehicle. It's okay. English Bible camps. We use the Bible for teaching, but it's really relationship building. It's kind of like a VBS. Mm. And then for the teen camps, we do teen life and adventure camps, which are like a confirmation camp or some sort of a youth camp. But we're doing this summer in Latvia, in Albania, and in Slovakia. But in Slovakia, we're bringing students, youth from probably 5 or 6 different countries, Germany, Slovakia, Latvia, Ukraine, America, Albania, bringing them all together for a week to really wrestle with what God is doing in their lives and dealing with problems that every teen deals with across the world. You'd mentioned, what do they see on the internet? The kids have so much access to information, they don't know what to do with it. But if they know that there's a biblical foundation for how to approach those problems, their eyes are absolutely opened and they respond so well. So we'd like to encourage people to come with us. Come and see, because relationship is key. And when you meet a person, you sit across from a person, you share, you break bread together and talk with them, that connection is made, and then you can bring that to your congregation. It builds on itself. If you're a pastor, and feel free to jump in and kick me if I need to stop. But if you're a pastor, we also do trainings throughout the year. We mentioned being in Ukraine in February.
Is kicking essential to most marriages?
I have never kicked him.
No, I'm teasing.
It's a gentle squeeze on the leg. Yeah.
No, you're doing great.
Thanks. We do trainings throughout the year. We do conferences, and they don't have to be big. We do big conferences, small conferences. The main thing is equipping indigenous leaders.
So how do people reach out to you? Through the website?
Through the website is primary. So Spiritual Orphans Network or sonetwork.org. And we looked at Sun Network, but it looked like Sonnet Work. And so that's why there's only one N. We generally go by Sun. But it is so at work, as you said.
Yeah.
look us up on there. We're also on Facebook. We're also on Instagram. And there are always links there as well. Angela and I live here in Albuquerque. We have staff all over the U.S., but we would love to talk with you. We'd love to even sit down with a cup of coffee, and you know, we can meet with them here. We can meet with them at the congregation.
And you have indigenous people in these countries talking and sharing and developing relationships right now. You want to develop some schools in each of these areas. Tell us how people that aren't really at the stage of life where they want to go travel abroad or whatever, how can they partner with you?
Before you answer that, I just want to say the eldest member going with us this summer, 89 years old.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we are a network. And so, I mean, prayer is essential. We can't do anything without prayer. In fact, our staff this week is practicing prayer and fasting. And that's something that we invite people to do with us if they'd like to. We like to get out into congregations. We like to have them meet our students that that have benefited from this education opportunity here in the United States, and to see what Christ is doing in, around, and through them in their lives. And the bigger the family of Christ we can build, the more effective we can be. And I know that it sounds simple to say it's through relationship, but isn't that what Jesus did? One-on-one, heart to heart. And so come meet us. We're right here in Albuquerque. Our phone number is on our website, and we'd be delighted to come meet you for a cup of coffee.
SONetwork.org. Yes. What encouragement would you give to someone who feels called to missions but has no idea where to start? Do they need special training?
We do all the training. We do all the booking. And as we're going, we know people. Safety is a huge concern for us, especially in this day and age. And so we work with a global security company to make sure that our teams are safe wherever they are. But I want to go back to, I mentioned that somebody 89 years old will be serving with us. He's gone with us for many, many years. He serves on our board. His name is Larry, and he's amazing. But what we love about being able to take people with us is that it's a multi-generational witness. We love to take families. Our eldest daughter and son-in-law are bringing our grandsons for the fourth year in a row. Our grandsons are 6 and 9, and this is their fourth year being overseas. And so we'd love to have people come and be that witness to those who haven't seen that in a family before.
You know, I sometimes, I'm a native New Mexican, so I've had the fortune of traveling outside of our fine state, and I realized that for many years I had what I'm going to call New Mexico mentality. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is that I thought the world revolved around New Mexico. The world does not revolve around New Mexico. And, you know, hey, Jesus is present here, and we appreciate the Holy Spirit. We're so amazed that Jesus rose and wasn't in the tomb. Yesterday, we celebrated that event. Amen. But it's also amazing to see how God works in other places around the world. And you want to give people that opportunity. You also want to report to them that if they give or support Spiritual Orphan Network, there are things that are amazing that are happening. There's fruit of the ministry.
That's right. You will always receive more. In Ethiopia, they don't need us to teach them how to make disciples. It's the fastest growing church on the planet. Yet they do need the resources of people coming alongside of them because they're growing so fast. And so every place where we serve, you will come away knowing so much more about yourself and how God has gifted you and how you can use those gifts right here in your own congregation, your own town, your own neighborhood.
You know, it's interesting that Ethiopians are mentioned even in the New Testament, right? And so you kind of think there is history, but when you come to a communist country, the leadership of those countries has forever tried to squash any knowledge of history. In fact, I think that I get the sense sometimes that there are people with that agenda in the United States. Yes. They want us all to forget about everything that our founding fathers said.
Right.
And by the way, I found it, you know, Thomas Jefferson is largely credited with writing the Declaration of Independence. Mm-hmm. I know it was co-written and this kind of thing. But back, you know, when we were getting all the woke ideologies and all the things spoken about, I had people say, oh, you know, that Thomas Jefferson, we need to get rid of him because he was a slaveholder. Well, isn't it an amazing paradox that this man would write, all men are created equal, as the beginning sentence of the Declaration of Independence, and yet he was a slaveholder?
Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine the conviction that brought. And then 8 years later, he wrote a letter to the assembly at Virginia. And in that, he said, there's three reasons slavery is bad. First one is American slaves and their families are going to hate America.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, he said, the people that own slaves don't just lord over their slaves. They think they're better than everybody else. He's talking about himself.
Yeah.
But here's the most profound thing that he said in this letter. He said, if there is ever a war between slaves and slave owners,
mm-hmm.
God will not be on the side of the slave owners.
No.
And I think that's knowledge that people overseas already have.
They do.
And they want to warn America.
They absolutely they do. And we've heard this for the entirety of our mm-hmm. ministry over there. They look at us and they say, you know, please don't. It's like, you know, when you're a parent, right? And you say to your child, here are all the mistakes I ever made. Don't make you make your own.
Make your own.
Right? But please don't make the mistakes that I made. Learn from me. Right. And that's what they're saying to us.
Well, I believe that we're preparing missionaries to come to the United States.
And remind
us of who we are. More importantly, of whose we are. And it's part of that relationship. Relationships work both directions. It's not us going there. It's us working together and sharpening each other.
And you guys have been doing it long enough mm-hmm. that you've grown up with people.
Oh yes.
In their faith.
Mm-hmm.
So you're almost like a spiritual parent.
We are.
Yes, but we can all be spiritual.
Yes, parents. Doesn't matter your age.
And so, you know, back to your point, I mean, it's amazing what God can do through sinners like us. And I will share with you that I was really only ever going to go on one mission trip, and it was only because David had gotten to go, and I just wanted to even the score, and that was 21 years ago. And a lifetime ago and a career ago, and I cannot imagine having ever said no. Just say yes.
If you're interested in possibly doing missions work, or you'd like to meet the young ladies that David and Angela have brought to the United States and are, you know, receiving a college education and discipleship in Christ, give them a touch base with them through sonetwork.org, sonetwork.org. David and Angela, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much, Jim.
ABQ Connect is a production of KLYT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KLYT.